Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on your favorite movies. And I know it has been a while, but we come back in full force talking about the most spectacular, pink-driven, amazingly funny movie, Barbie.
That's right, Andrew. We're sitting here wearing pink. We apologize for the long delay between podcasts. Yeah. We were chilling in our Barbie house, and now we're back to the real world.
Our Mojo Dojo Casa.
Yes, right. Sit in the Mojo Dojo Casa house for a while, but we finally are back. We're going to review Barbie, and got to say, this film pretty much lived up to the hype. You know, you got Margot Robbie as Barbie, Ryan Gosling as Ken. You come in, like, what are they going to do with this movie? How are you going to make it? What's it going to actually be about? Well, Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach, the couple and writing duo really came together, and I thought they did a really good job putting this on the big screen and making it look nice and have a good message and still be funny all at the same time. And just this pink mania, Andrew. I go to the theater, and I didn't actually think people were going to be wearing pink all over the place, but they were, and it's just lovely to see. You love to see films succeed, especially good films, and this is exactly what that is. It's a good film.
Yeah, just like you mentioned, whenever a movie has so much hype and support around it before its release, you just pray that it's going to come out to be a good movie, because you hate to see those things fail. Like how when everybody was rallying to get Morbius re-released in theaters and that bombed so surprisingly. But no, Barbie was so incredible. I had a great time with it. I agree that how do you make a movie out of a toy like this? But it worked. I don't know how they pulled it off, but it worked. Greta Gerwig has this talent that just is unseen anywhere else in cinema. From Lady Bird to Little Woman, all the way here to Barbie, I think she has an amazing career ahead of her, and I can't get over the set pieces of this movie. It felt gorgeous. It felt like they were all toys. I thought it was all, like, practical effects. You know how they used to do in the olden times where they make everything look big by, you know, zooming in on little car toys. But there you go. You see Margot Robbie. You see Ryan Gosling and all on the set. It's crazy. But I had a great time with it. I think it was fun. I think it had great messages in it. I think we'll get into that much later for those of you who have hard opinions on it. But I honestly feel like this movie is definitely worth watching a second time. But speaking of the pink, I did go in my pink shirt. I couldn't find any.
You know, if I was gonna wear pink, it was gonna be in this hot weather with a really, you know, thick dress shirt. So I wasn't about to do that. I wasn't about to wear my comfortable white tee. I'm trying to stay nice and cool in this American heat wave, especially here in California. Yeah, no pink for me, but yeah, surprised so many people. Like, I walked when we left the theater, there's people everywhere wearing pink. People walking into the theater wearing pink, people leaving the theater wearing pink. It was like, wow, like, this actually worked, you know. And then, you know, I see people online saying, oh, well, Barbie's successful because they're spending so much money on marketing. Dude, every movie spends a lot of money on marketing. It doesn't always work. Disney spends hundreds of millions on Indiana Jones, and that was a big failure. So, yeah, you know, spending it and then doing it right is completely different things. But yeah, congrats to Greta Gerwig for pulling it off.
But this is a prime example about how the new age of marketing is going to propel films. All of the hype was around regular kids on, like, TikTok. It reminds me of the Minions. Like, remember when people would, like, talk about going in suits to watch the Minions movie? And people did that? Like, it's that kind of hype that just organically is created and not forced by a studio, which I think does amazing in the numbers.
But there was some stuff with pink, right? They were saying that, oh, we've run out of color pink. Was that like a meme, or did Warner Brothers do that?
Well, that's what I heard too, that they ran out of, like, the pink color for all the sets. Like, there was, like, a shortage of pink.
That was, like, a joke, right? That was a marketing.
I think that was a funny joke, but I wouldn't disbelieve it if it was true.
Yeah, in a way, it was like a combination of, you know, organic marketing and then Warner Brothers just doing the right touches. Warner Brothers and Mattel just kind of like, okay, like, you know, where do we actually need to target? You know, how do we actually make it? And I think above all, it was the production design and the costume. When you see the trailer, when you see Ryan Gosling as Ken and Greta Gerwig as Barbie, like, Margot Robbie. It makes you want to see the film. It's just it's a very, like, it's just, it looks good. You know what I mean? It could have looked really bad. It could look really corny, but it's like, oh, okay, this actually looks like a lot of fun. They got the logos right and everything like that, and it all really came together. And they're buzzing about it. I'm sure that the executives, Will Ferrell and everyone, are, you know, breaking up the champagne glasses and partying.
Who do you think had more control over a movie like this? Like, actually, Mattel or Warner Brothers or Greta Gerwig?
It was a little too self-referential at times with the Mattel stuff and what they have like at going on at the executive offices. So it's just kind of like, and I didn't love those parts because I can imagine Greta Gerwig like, okay, you guys can say this, you can say not. My guess, and I think what happened was the writers go to the studio, say, hey, here's what we're going to do. They kind of okay it or not. And I think in this case, Mattel and Warner Brothers said, hey, you know what? Let them say whatever they want. And these days, it doesn't matter. It's not 1960 anymore where you have to be very like, oh, you know, we can't have them say this, have them say that. Like,
our brand this, our brand that.
Yeah. That stuff doesn't really matter anymore. You make fun of your brand and people, like, you know, people, this movie's making a bunch of money. People are watching it. And it's not going to stop them from buying Mattel toys, even though they had so many jokes about how they were such a greedy company and all that sort of thing. It doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't really affect consumers anymore.
It really does not. I know there was an article I read where the CEO of Mattel came out saying the exact same thing, where they let Greta Gerwig have fun with it, and being self-aware is like what leads to a successful business. So, yeah, I do agree that I think Mattel did give them like full permission, like, you know, go do what you want. You know, you know what's best for the movie. Yeah.
They say it in the end of the movie too, with Will Ferrell and the other exec. He's like, the guy was like, oh, this new Barbie will make money. It's like, okay, do it. That's all they really care about. And I think at this point, people realize that if you are a business or a company, you exist, if you're for profit, you exist to make money. So it's not like it's a secret or anything. No one's trying to sell us like some sort of, you know, social story or anything like that about some certain themes. I wanted to ask you, Andrew, what did you think about the story in this film? Did you think they pulled it off well with Barbie going, you know, finding out her feet are flat and cellulite, and then going into the real world and then having this existential crisis? Did you like the story with the human characters and all that?
Yeah, so I like the story. One thing that it reminded me of towards the beginning of the film, it was like right at the beginning before we got into the meat of like what was going on. It reminded me a lot of movies like Free Guy or the Lego Movie, where like Barbie was doing the same routine over and over and over again, and she wanted to break the cycle, like be someone different or do something different. That's what it kind of reminded me of at the beginning. But then we started learning about, you know, what's really happening, like, oh, a disconnect between, you know, the human and the toy. And it's like, okay, this is a whole fresh new thing that we've never seen before. I thought it was a beautiful story. I cannot get over America Ferrera's speech about, you know, being a woman and the patriarchy. I think
we'll talk about that in a bit.
But I do think that if you paid attention to this film and to the story and to what was trying to be said, you can get a clear understanding that there are systemic issues that affect all parties involved. You know, like with the Ken not feeling like he's good enough, and then Barbie being afraid of, you know, cellulite and all this. There is just so much packed into this story that I feel like I need to hear more from Greta Gerwig about what she intended, because right now it's all my assumptions, and I just can't get over how great it was that she stuck the landing. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, the look and feel of this film and everything that goes into actually directing it is pretty good. You know, we were talking about the story, which was written by Greta Gerwig and her partner, Noah Baumbach. I thought the story was okay. I think the concept of, you know, the person playing with the Barbie toy, having an existential crisis, like leading to the actual Barbie itself and the whole cellulite flat feet, it was good. It was funny. I would have liked them to spend a little bit more time just kind of having fun in the human world. I thought it jumped to the story a little too quickly with this whole Mattel thing. It felt like a bit of a waste of time going into the Mattel office and doing all that stuff. And I thought the ending was a bit padded. I'm sure we'll talk more about the themes in a bit, but the story was just okay to me. I think to me it's the look and feel, it's the actors' performances, especially Ryan Gosling, that really carried this movie. I was a little disappointed overall by the story.
Okay. So, in like what way? Like, do you have one point you could like bring out of, like, what kind
yes,
of
yes, teacher, yes, professor, I can ask your extra question. I think as I was discussing it, just there was the central point of her having, you know, flat feet. So I understand that was just kind of like a mechanism to get her into the real world. But I think sometimes, like the we saw with the Mario movie, just be fun. Just be fun. There were some moments in the middle of this film where it just really needed to be fun and show them interacting with real humans and finding out, hey, no one actually cares about Barbies anymore. I thought that would have been a little bit more of an interesting angle. Instead, it goes right into the themes with the grandma on the bench and, like, you know what it's trying to say. And it's like, it's a little too early for that stuff. Give it some time. Let it kind of build up to it. Don't get me wrong. The movie has fun later when they go back to Barbie Land. But I just thought it could have been a little bit, you know, a little tighter in the middle with what they were doing. So it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's the, right. It's the disillusioned emo daughter and her, you know, and her mom and all that stuff. It's like, oh, geez, like, nah, just didn't completely hit for me in there. I wasn't completely engaged.
What I want to bring up is, I think an interesting conversation that people are having right now is that people are suggesting that this movie is anti-men. Do you have a stance on that, Santi?
Look, there's some certain moment. Look, I think we can agree on one thing. You know, when you look at all the CEOs,
don't rope me into this.
I'm just saying, when you look at the Mattel CEOs and people who work there, yeah, you know, they're all men and they're all stupid and dumb and they make dumb mistakes. And I think, obviously, that's intentional. It's trying to show the history of, you know, executive companies and whatnot. I mean, the current CEO of Mattel is also a man, so it's not like anything's really changed in that sense. I don't think this movie's really anti-men. I think it's a very insecure response by a lot of people. It's just a movie. I'd say it's just a movie, bro. It's about Barbie, which is primarily a toy that's been played with by little girls. It just reminds me of all the, you know, stuff about, oh, you know, I hear from, like, you know, 40-year-old men, like, oh, you know, they're ruining, you know, Disney's ruining this and that. Like, you're never going to watch it anyway. It's not, you're not even the target audience anymore. Now, a movie like this, I think anyone can watch. You are the target audience. But at the same time, it's like, well, of course it's going to have, you know, strong themes of feminism and that sort of stuff. So it's just a gimme. People are just whining over nothing.
No, yeah. People want to complain about something to feel, I guess, special. Like,
it just reminds me. Ben Shabibo burning his Barbie toy. It's like, what the hell is that? Like, what are you doing out here? It's just ridiculous.
What was that? That 45-minute video of, yeah, it's he destroys Barbie. It's like, dude, you're a grown 40-year-old man. Like, you need to give it up.
You have kids. It's like, yeah. What are you doing? Now, let's just be honest. You know, whether you're left side or right side, you know, the grift is a grift. You do what you do to get the clicks and get the money. Works out for some, not all. Andrew, maybe we need to do some more clickbaity stuff. maybe we'll burn some Alan toys that we can dig up, and that'll spark some outrage, and we'll get, you know, thousands of views like some of these guys. But yeah, to answer your question, Andrew, absolutely no. I don't think this movie's anti-men. It's gonna have stronger feminist themes, and I thought towards the end, look, at the end, what was the whole point? You know, with Ken, it was saying, hey, we're not going to go back to the way things were in Barbie Land, where the Kens are basically second-class citizens. So,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think this movie's at all anti-men. I don't think it's trying to give that message that it's anti-men either. I think, like how I mentioned earlier, that this whole story is encapsulating the fact that the system that we're in gives issues to all sides. And we all need to figure out, you know, who we are, what makes us who we are. Like, I love how Ken was having that crisis of, like, no, it's Ken and Barbie, like, who am I on my own? And then Barbie,
exactly,
yeah, and then Barbie's like, no, like, you're who you want to be. You're more than beach, you're more than
you know, having Barbie, you know, more than just being in a relationship or whatever. That's just, yeah, if anything, that's like pro men.
That's empowerment. Yes, yeah. And as it should be like that. But as you mentioned, how, you know, there's feminist themes in it, let's talk about the history of this movie real quick. How the original Barbie was supposed to be Amy Schumer, and the reason why she dropped out was because it was not feminist enough. Do you think that it could have gone way worse with Amy Schumer on board?
Well, the whole, I'm assuming at that point, Greta Gerwig wasn't the writer or the director. I think Gerwig was cast later. Actually, apparently Anne Hathaway was also cast in the middle.
And so was Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Look, here's the thing with Amy Schumer or with anyone actors. I believe a film is like a job at the office or wherever you all may, listeners may work. You have a job, do your job. If you're an actor, do your job. Now, you want to give suggestions, that's fine. The producer, writer, director, they get the final shot. So if Amy Schumer is coming in, she's reading the script, she's like, it's not feminist enough. Like, I don't know what that original script was. I don't know who wrote that original script. But look, you want to do the job. If you don't do it. But do I think she was a good fit for Barbie? No, not stereotypical Barbie. I'm not going to get into... Well, look, at the end of the day, Margot Robbie looks more like the Barbie doll. And I thought she did a good job. And I think Amy Schumer is a little too much of a comedic actor to have really fit in this role. I think with a more pure comedy. So I think Margot Robbie helps balance out that whole seriousness with the themes and then also the funny moments.
Definitely the funny moments. And speaking about the funny moments, my opinion, the most funny one was when they did the I'm Just Ken dance number. And I feel like
whole war scene was fantastic.
Yeah, with their beach toys and all that. I think this would be a fantastic performance for the Oscar stage. I really feel like they're going to make them do this whole performance. But let's talk about who you think is going to stand a better chance in the Best Original Song category. Is it Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken? Or is it Jack Black's Peaches from the Super Mario movie? What do you think, Santi?
Honestly, neither of them are going to win, most likely. But if I had to pick one. Okay, yeah, I don't think either of them are going to win. I'm Just Ken is a better song. It's a better music video. But, you know, Peaches is just more catchy. If you actually listen to the whole, you know, Peaches song from Bowser, it's like the same line like 1,000 times over and over again. But it's super catchy. I vote Mario. I vote the Bowser song. What about you?
I am Team Ken. I would feel like if it was between those two, I Am Kenuff will definitely top the Mario.
That's song. A great shirt. I think I'm going to buy that shirt.
Honestly, if you go right now, and if you're listening, if you if you go to Mattel's merch site, they already have the sweater online.
There you go.
I think it's like $40. You can definitely support the consumerism. That male CEO.
Don't look. You know, buy whatever you want, but don't buy a t-shirt made from Mattel for $40 because they just get it from the fish. What's that one thing? Oh, that fruit
from
fruit.
Shein.
No, Fruit of the Loom. Those white shirts. Fruit of the... Yeah, it's just a Fruit of the Loom shirt. And then they probably just like get some like laser thing and they just stamp Kenuff on it. And it's like, oh, here we go, $40. Cost margin is like they're making like $38 a shirt. Yeah, don't buy that crap.
Well, anyone could do what they want with their hard-earned money. But let's talk about, on the topic of money, the box office numbers and the future of Mattel. I know, Santi, you are the guru when it comes to these box office predictions and these analysis. So please tell us, all of us, what do you see in the future?
Well, I see a lot of things in the future. I think Mattel's absolutely going to open up its little toy treasure chest and start doing the whole Barbie franchise. Greta Gerwig is already on record saying that she's not thought about Barbie 2. I can see her producing it, but for sure Barbie 2 is going to come. There'll be spinoffs and there'll be other toys that they'll start movies with. I don't know if they'll succeed. I think that studio's like once again taking all the wrong lessons. People want to go see Barbie because it's something they didn't expect. They never thought they'd see a Barbie movie. It's like, oh, okay, this is actually something I'm really looking forward to. And look, Barbie, let's talk box office. Number one opening weekend of 2023. It beat the Super Mario Brothers movie. Absolutely crazy. To this day, it's already made $380 million. Let me tell you why this is actually so impressive. Barbie opened under 4,000 theaters. Average is usually around 4,200 for these brand new blockbuster films. And obviously, we know another movie opened this weekend. It's, you know, we have to talk about it. Oppenheimer.
Yes.
And think about this. Oppenheimer had every IMAX screen. It had every premium screen. There was no 3D for Barbie. So it made $162 million just in the United States its opening weekend without any of the premium screens. Imagine if it actually had those as well. I'm talking any like special screening at your local theater.
Wow.
Oppenheimer had the rights to it. So this is an incredible performance. It's already made back its budget and marketing budget and all that. It's probably going to hit $1 billion. Do I think it'll hit 1.3 to and beat Mario for the highest grossing movie of 2023? I don't think it will. I think it'll fall a little bit short on that, but it's absolutely fantastic. And if one other thing I want to say on the box office, Andrew, is that Oppenheimer was projected to open around $55 million just a few weeks ago. But all the hype with this Barbenheimer stuff and the stark contrast between two films, you got one film that's like supposed to be super happy and all that, and then the dark, downright depressing movie. Oppenheimer opened up to like, what, $82 million, which is insane for a 3-hour biopic. So Barbie's not only carrying its own weight, I think it actually carried Oppenheimer a bit. Well, no disrespect to Oppenheimer. It's a great film and deserves all the praise.
And we will talk about it one day.
We will talk about
it. Soon.
Yeah, soon. Not in this podcast, but I'm just looking. Just box office projections. Barbie absolutely helped Oppenheimer, and it helped it a lot.
Oh, I believe that. Well, that's great analysis that you brought up, so thank you for that. I am kind of curious to see if it will cross that $1 billion mark, because this is a very rewatchable movie. You know, what does it clock into? Like about like just 2 hours?
Yeah, that's one of the other things that I thought they did really well is it's about 114 minutes. Although the ending I felt dragged quite a bit. There was like 3-4 different endings. I'm like, it's just going to end already. But 114 minutes, it's nice to see a movie come under 2 hours that has a, you know, big budget. And they're taking the right lessons. Disney, you know, learn from Barbie on this one.
Yeah.
Lower the length of your movies, please.
Oh, definitely. One thing that disappoints me, this is totally unrelated, but one thing that disappoints me about this movie is I think Ryan Gosling is now going to be forever immortalized as Ken. But to me, Ryan Gosling will always be Sebastian from La La Land. That is my actor. That is my character that I will always remember him as. But you know what? Every generation has their Ryan Gosling. The Notebook at one point.
Yeah.
Then I had La La Land.
He was in Remember the Titans as well. He was playing.
That's right.
Yeah, he was in that one. Obviously, bunch of other ones, Blade Runner 2049. I actually think, Andrew, I think he'll be all right. I don't think he'll be that. Because usually that, I feel like because he's been in so many movies before Barbie, that there's enough of a kind of.
Like a catalog.
There's a big enough catalog there for him as an actor where he won't get kind of typecast into this role. But I can definitely see it happening with, you know, younger audiences. If we're going to talk about acting, let's talk about I thought the person who blew me away in this movie as an actor.
Michael Cera?
Who?
Oh, Michael Cera?
Michael Cera just played Michael Cera. I mean, everyone talks about how great he was, but he just played himself. I wasn't blown away. I'm like, this is the same guy in every single movie. But it was Simu Liu. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Simu Liu.
I thought he was gonna have a tiny role, but he was a fantastic like bad guy Ken. I thought he played that role brilliantly.
I did too, actually. Like the way he, how you mentioned it, he was like the bad guy. Was he really the bad guy Ken? Is that what they kind of like?
Well, I don't know what they. I think they just call him like Ken number two in the credits or something like that. But I thought he did a really good job kind of being the antagonist to Ryan Gosling's Ken.
Yes.
God, it was just really clever seeing all those different kind of Kens. And, you know, plus one for how they did, they added so many different kind of like, you know, the President Barbie, the Dr. Barbie, Lawyer Barbie, and all these different kind of Kens. They really did a good job of giving each of them enough screen time to where you kind of feel like they're living in that world. And speaking of living in the Barbie world, Andrew, I was going to ask you, what was your favorite? I think you already mentioned was the dance war sequence. Was that your favorite moment in the film? Because I got one that just kind of stuck with me for some reason.
If I think about it, if I look back through the movie in my head and I quickly screen by it, I would say, aside from the musical number, I think my favorite scene would have to be when Ryan Gosling, or Ken, he walked into that library and started picking up books on horses and the patriarchy.
Funny.
And it's like, oh my God, like, it brought a smile to my face. Cause it was like, of all things he could have picked up, he got horses.
his slow realization that like, you know, that men kind of like run the world and in the real world and all that sort of stuff. It was just so good seeing how like super masculine. You know I criticized the story earlier, and I still stand by how it kind of linked together. But the world building in this is really good. The character motivations, the world building, they did such a great job. That was funny. Do you think that means that Ryan Gosling's Ken was like owned by like some crazy horse person? and that's why they were so obsessed with horses?
That's
because I don't view horses as like a super manly thing. Like, I know like men have ridden horses for thousands of years, but it's not like the first thing I would really associate with it when you think about it. So I thought maybe there's like some, you know, real world tie-in. You know, maybe his doll owner is an actual horse person. I don't know if that was just an Easter egg or something I'm making up.
No, that'd be pretty cool. One thing I want... Well, before we go to what I want to say, what's your favorite scene?
Oh, yeah. So I think the war scene was my favorite scene with the bow, just pure, like, it was, like, pure, like, masculinity, but they're also, like, they have all this, like, you know, stuffed animals and things that are using toys to fight. Yeah, like, trying to bring the horse back to life and... Just all the arrows and stuff going around. It was great. One scene that kind of stuck with me was the intro scene. So if we get those kind of like long, you know, to medium shots of, you know, the desert and the canyon and whatnot. First thing I thought of, and I will take credit for this. It was like, I'm like, is this the same opening as a Space Odyssey? Like, that's what it reminded me of. And I didn't say anything. I'm talking before it even showed the kids or anything like that. Just like the scenery. I'm like, this kind of looks like Space Odyssey. And then all of a sudden it happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, they're parodying that. So it was kind of cool to make that connection before they actually confirmed it on screen.
Yeah.
So, that I really liked, man. We talked about our favorite scenes, Andrew.
Hey, hold on real quick. Let's talk about one of the greatest cameos of this movie. John Cena coming up as the
merman.
The mermaid. Yes.
It was good. You know, for anyone who says this film is anti-men or anti-manly, you got one of the manliest wrestlers of all time playing a mermaid. So
yeah,
there that's you go. All you and need. I just apologize for the noise flux. Just smashed my laptop, so cut that out.
Okay, I'll cut that out. So I want to ask you something about what you thought about this interpretation of the towards the end of the movie. How when Barbie, Margot Robbie's Barbie, how she finally like awoke all the other Barbies from like their trance. And then she was, like, confronting Ryan Gosling's Ken. How Barbie had to apologize to Ken for how she made him feel. And apologize to leading him on if she did at all. But Ryan Gosling's Ken never apologized for taking over Barbie Land, taking over her house, taking her things, and pretty much changing it all.
Are you sure he didn't say, like, I'm sorry too or anything like that?
So what I remember is that he did not apologize. So if that is true, what do you think is like a subtle message there that men are never going to be accountable for their actions?
I think you're overthinking it.
Oh boy, okay, I'm overthinking.
That's what
it.
I think. This movie is so on its like on the nose that sometimes I thought like I know you know what Andrew I'll give it to you. It's very much possible that yes that he didn't like there might be Greta trying to give the message that. You know, men are sometimes not responsible for apologizing for their mistakes only when someone else has wronged them. I can see that angle. I don't 100% agree because when who's that character? America Ferrera. I don't know what her name was in the movie, yes. But when she's given that long speech that was good but way too long, it's like, okay, this movie's, you know, it's not really trying to hide anything about its message. It's pretty on the nose. This movie's trying to tell you what it's trying to tell you. You don't have to really dig deep for it. So yeah, I don't think there was some messaging there, but it's a good catch. It's actually a really good catch.
Thank you. So Santi, I know you have a little something that you want to bring up, like another historical
piece to
this. I
just
thought
it was really weird. So they bring in the Barbie inventor, Ruth Handler, and I don't know, who was she played by? It was
I don't know.
Rhea Perlman. Or something, okay. And then they start talking about how she was the original creator of Barbie, blah, blah, I named it after my daughter, blah, 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 blah. And they start talking about the tax evasion stuff, and I looked it up, I was just like, what the heck? Like, okay, it was actually pretty funny, but just seems like it's in bad taste, because she's like, you know, she's dead, she died at a really young age due to breast cancer. It's like, okay, she had some issues.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she had some issues with IRS, but it's like, really? Like, you're going to bring that up in the movie? I thought that was... I don't know who brought that. Was that Mattel trying to kind of like push away the original inventor of the Barbie and make people think negatively of her? Or I don't know. I thought that was a little weird. It was funny how they included her in there. I just thought it was a little weird that they brought up the tax evasion stuff. Although funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I heard that, I heard the tax evasion thing too, and I kind of laughed. I was like, it reminds me of that one. I have one shirt that I love to wear sometimes. It just has Barney
on
it.
Don't tread on me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. It has Barney on it. And the only words on the shirt is, commit tax evasion. And so when I heard that in the movie Barbie, of that she committed tax evasion, I thought, like, oh, it's a perfect time. I should have worn that shirt. It was a subtle jab. Maybe, yeah, in bad taste, because she can't defend herself. But I thought it was still.
Jumping away from Ruth Handler. If there's one theme you take away from this movie, what would it be?
The one theme I think I would take away from this is that if I were to look at this at the surface level and not go too deep, I would just say that we are all in control of who we are, and we all make our own destiny. We all make our own lives. It doesn't matter where we come from or what predetermined expectation others have of us, but we always have the ability to be who we want to be, regardless of what anyone says, regardless of what society says, your family, your parents, and Barbie, your handler. I think we all have the ability to create
choose your own destiny.
Life, yes.
Very, very well said, Andrew. Very well said. For myself, if there's one thing I take away from this film, let me ask you this, Andrew. How did the Barbies get? You talk about, you know, wanting to see that change. How do the Barbies take back control from the Kents?
They distracted them.
But then what did they do after they distracted them?
They voted on
that's it.
Constitution?
No, they just voted. I really think, like, this is one of the more, like, kind of like, it's in your face, but people aren't talking about it enough online. It's like, you want change. If you want change, go vote. Go vote. Ooh,
yes. You
know, that's how they think about how they took the land back, how they implemented kept the Constitution how it was, or whatever, took it back to whatever it was. What did they do? Yeah, they distracted the Kens, you know, all the funny stuff, but at the end of the day, they voted. You know, it wasn't like they beat them in a war or anything like that. They went out, they voted, they got the change they want. So,
this just came up in my head. Yeah, is this another, like, I guess a metaphor that, like, all wars are started by men? But if women were him,
in 100%. Power,
that was.
Well, I don't know about the war thing, but, like, it was 100% like a Helen of Troy sort of thing, where they're just distracted and they're fighting over a woman, and the way they resolved basically the way they resolved their issues is through war. That was 100% deliberate. That was 100% deliberate.
Yeah. Okay. Look at us already piecing together this movie.
People take what I just said and say, oh, it's anti-man. It's like, you look at the course of human history. You can't disagree with it.
Yeah, it's kind of proof already.
Eventually, when Andrew and I, you know, split our podcast and go our own separate ways, you know, how are we going to resolve it? You know, lawsuits and war and, you know, stuff like that. So that's just
nonstop.
That's just what guys do.
Well, with all that put together, and I know our last podcast was Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think before that it was just Avatar.
Mario.
But, like, if any of you have stuck around, you know what that means, or what time of the podcast it is. Santi, I want you to tell us, because it's been a while, what score would you give Barbie out of 5 tickets?
Andrew, I know I've been kind of singing the praises of this movie, and look, the acting is great, the set production design is fantastic, it's a gorgeous film to look at, it's pretty nicely edited. For the most part, I did find the ending a little bit too long, I did find the middle a little disjointed, and it wasn't completely engaging for me. So as much as I liked the world building and what they did with the concept of Barbie and all the themes and stories they had to tell, it didn't completely, like, you know, get me into the film. I wasn't glued to the screen like I really expected myself to be. But having said all that, it's a good movie. I think it's absolutely worth your time to go watch it. And I give it 3.5 out of 5 tickets. Andrew, what's your score?
I was slightly deviate from you, and I would say that I was glued to the screen. I think I was thoroughly entertained. And that's the beauty of having this, you know, podcast with you, is that we discuss, you know, our differences. We're not always going to be the same, but I was thoroughly entertained. I couldn't stop watching. I think it was hilarious from beginning to end. I love the antics, like when the car flips over, you could tell how cartoony it is, or when Ryan Gosling's can runs into the water and starts flipping in the air. It's so, like, appropriately cartoonish, and I enjoyed that. I think it's something that you don't see much in movies anymore, but in this context of the film, I think it worked perfectly. All those little quips. I think the acting was incredible, like you mentioned. Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, they are not going to be Oscar contenders, but they definitely have high praises in the public eye. I have to give this movie a strong 4 out of 5. Yeah, there was some times where it was like unnecessary bits of the film that you didn't need, like maybe walking through, you know, LA or through the, was it the city center or whatever?
I actually like those parts.
Okay, yeah, you like those parts, and yeah, but
I think it doesn't work for everyone. It doesn't have to work.
Yeah, exactly. There were some scenes where I felt like, okay, we don't need this right now. But overall, great movie, and I definitely encourage anybody who has not gone yet to go watch it. And I love seeing the discourse online of people who are saying, like, oh, if you watch Barbie, you're not a real man. It's like, shut up, man. Like, you're the most insecure guy there is if you think that a silly movie is going to demasculate you.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
One quick point, though. I actually do think Ryan Gosling will be the best supporting actor or not. I actually do think he will. It's a tight category with only 5. Yeah. I was on TikTok, and, like, obviously, you know, Barbie's trending, so I'm getting this. It's like, you know, if you go out and watch Barbie over Oppenheimer, it's not a man. Okay, I just need to say this. For the men or whoever out there, whatever you identify as, if you are actually, like, leaning on to, like, Oppenheimer as some sort of, like, super masculine film to, like, fight off against Barbie, and, like, come on. Like, you know, check yourself in the mirror a bit. Okay, it's just the movie. It's made to, you know, it's just the movie. Okay, they're all made to make money, and, you know, that entertain. That's all there is. You know, yeah, it's an art form.
That's all it is. That,
but it's like, come on, really? Like, if you don't go see Oppenheimer, you're not a man. It's like, what? Who are you
to say what a man is and isn't? Like, relax,
I think at this
dude.
Point, like, you know a grift when you see it. Yeah,
100%.
It's interesting, because I've had a comment on one of our TikToks. Yes, that's right, listeners, we're on TikTok now. We had a comment where someone basically said, he said, yeah, but Barbie's like a kid's movie, and if you're like an adult, you're gonna go see Oppenheimer. Like, I bet that person's like 10 years old too. And this whole, like, look, the best part about Barbie, honestly, you said favorite scene, Andrew, earlier, was, I think the best part was, without a doubt, when all the Kens were, like, describing the Godfather, and the Barbie's mentioning all her money's in a cash account, and she doesn't have a 401k or CDs or anything like that.
The bonds.
Like, so for all the people saying you're not a man to go see Barbie, like, this movie calls you out pretty hard in
it
that
really
sequence.
It really does. Especially the Godfather one, where she's like,
can you talk to the whole movie? I went through that in real life, so.
Oh, no, you're a victim.
I was called out directly.
Oh, great. Okay, well, that was great. I love talking about this movie. Are we any less of a man talking about this movie,
Santi? I'll have to go, I might go to get a doctor's appointment and check my T levels after this podcast.
I'm going to see how many jars of pickles I can open. Maybe I still have some in me left.
I'm a little worried now.
Well, okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. We really do appreciate you guys. If you've stuck around this long, we really aim to give you guys as much fun and information as possible. We want to come back as consistent as possible. We will be back for Oppenheimer, right, Santi?
That's right. We will this weekend.
With this weekend, and I'm sure the hype is still going to continue, because I hear there's a special 15-minute long scene in that movie that I am not ready to, or maybe I am ready to see, but
is it like
wait, you don't know about that?
Oh, I think I've heard something about it. So we should not see this film with our family. Is
what you're not see it with your parents. No. All right. Yes. All right. We'll be back, everybody, next week. So we really do appreciate you guys stopping by, and we'll see you then.
You want to go see for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
I'm a Barbie.